Savior Jesus, the risen Christ. Welcome back to issue number 3 in our meaningful series. Impossible to even enumerate all the blessings God gives us, but we've been celebrating just a couple of this month. And we started with our families. We called it family faith, and especially when we commit to doing faith with each other here at church together and then at home. And then last week, we talked about a meaningful place, right? We said, boy, if we could all order name tags and make sure we're committed to wear those, and if we would do the two-minute drill after church, right? Because your friends are going to be here 2 minutes, but not any visitor. So if we could spend 2 minutes getting to know somebody that we don't know, even if they've been here 5 years. If you've never met them, you know, make a friend. Be a welcoming place today. Groups of grace. All right, so let's warm up here a little bit. I'm going to put a group on the board. You shout it out if you know this group. Here we go.
Beatles.
Yep.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cast of cheers. Who is this? Lewis and Clark. And we just always stop by saying those two names, but it was the whole core of Discovery, too, wasn't it? Okay. U.S. women's soccer team, right? Okay. I don't know these names, but they are a squad of soldiers, typically 9 teammates working together. Right? Right? Cast of friends. Jesus and the disciples. All right. So, pop quiz. The common denominator between all these small groups is that they are all small groups. Yeah. Today in our meaningful series, we celebrate God's gift of pulling us together in groups small enough, as they said in Cheers, where everybody knows your name and knows your story. Last night, I don't know how many of you watched over at Sanford Stadium, 93,000 some people were cheering on together, the Bulldogs, and wherever you go, you get that many people, it's a rush, it's fun. But many argue you miss something without the tailgate party, where you can eat together and laugh with each other, and you can ask each other about how your family's doing or how that new job is going. American mythology sometimes puts a go-it-alone independence or pulling up yourself by your own bootstraps with nobody's help on a pedestal. But if studies tell us that loneliness is on the rise, along with depression and other maladies that accompany it, maybe it's healthy for us to see pictures like this. Now, you wise elders, turn to the youngins and explain, who is this couple? That's right. That's right. Even the lone ranger knew he couldn't go it alone. He needed a Tonto so they could thrive in their teamwork. Michael Jordan indeed was awesome, but he couldn't win a championship for 7 years in the league until he learned how to trust and work with his teammates. Many consider Lincoln our greatest president, but he relied on the brilliance of his cabinet. And most importantly, what do we learn in Jesus' example? That even the Lord of Lords would desire to spend vast energy developing a special small group of friends and colleagues. If even Jesus needed some buddies to help him get through his tough times and help him laugh, then how about us? A few weeks ago, Pastor Miriam was speaking in our meaningful series about the power of families coming together, especially doing faith. And I don't know if she intended this or not, but one of her graphics spread out the word together. And it clumped the letters in this way, to get her. Brilliant. I've never seen it put that way before in my life. Now, most young men want to get her in the dating world, but all of us to get life, to get joy, to get adventure, to get a fuller picture and sense of God. This happens when we do it together. One of the really cool things about you, Christ our Shepherd, is all the small groups you bring alive and through which Jesus does his kingdom work. I don't have all pictures of all these groups, but maybe you can imagine them. Music groups, adult groups, M&M choirs, Skittle choirs, flute choirs, brass choirs, bell choirs, clarinet choirs. Carl Dittmeier, who leads three of these teams, says it like this. I find my work with these musicians has taken on a special quality. Time spent with people I love and working together to present wonderful music to the glory of God. We also have work and get her done small groups. Our Holy Folders with Miss Kitty meet each Thursday to fold bulletins. Then they go out to eat and they celebrate birthdays. On the other hand, we've got one and done groups who might come together for just one long weekend to go serve in a hurricane recovery spot. But they're able to go deep in what God does in their midst in just one short weekend. Newer groups include Mosaic, who like exploring cultural events together, or Canvas, standing for Calling All New Voices with Artistic Spirits, who get together for Christian craftiness. Sometimes COS small group connections means participation in a Bible study, like The Quest, currently offered Tuesday morning, Wednesday night. For adults on Sunday mornings, you always have a green light to drop in on Text Talk, Chill and Chat, or Faithful Citizen. Again, you heard wrapping up today, but next week we start Making Sense of Martin Luther. We've got ministry teams, Palmetto Road teams, prayer and care groups, Sarah Circle, retreats for men, women, and youth, Stephen ministry teams, the Memory Loss Care Team with Leslie Klein. She calls it care, compassion, and regard for everyone. Romeo's, Prayer Shawl Ministry, Sinks and Dinks, camping groups, and a mash of groups you can bring to Hops and Hymns, and so many others I'm not even naming. You folks are terrific. Regardless of your group's shape and size, Jesus loves seeing groups of his followers in action. Do you doubt that? Take a look at our gospel today. That is a small group on the move. Now, one fellow in the group is paralytic. We don't know if he was born with a challenge or if he had an accident texting while driving his donkey. Either way, he has got both roses and thorns. When my gift group gets together, most every time we close or open with going around and sharing our roses and thorns, being honest about what's both bringing us joy, but also a little bit worry in our lives. And that way we get beyond this Facebook facade that Jacqueline Bussey talked about, where it looks like everyone's life is nothing but perfect, and then we can walk away, we can pray for one another. Well, the man in Mark 2 has the thorn of paralysis, but also the rose and the joy of four good friends in a small group. Now, we don't need to retell the whole story, but you heard what happened. When they hear Jesus is in town, they decide to take a chance. And that's what you do in small groups. You take a chance. Because some of you feel like you have been burned in small groups, and it wasn't worth your time. Coming from difficult family situations, it's hard for you, perhaps, to really trust other people sometimes. Maybe that paralytic and his buddies have been burned in other ventures, but they are nevertheless going to try with Jesus. When they get there, roadblock, so many people congest the house. They have got to be creative. It almost turns into a Mission Impossible movie. You can let the music start playing. We got to get the guy to the roof. Got to cut a hole in the roof. Got to drop him down somehow, all in time before Jesus leaves the building. And in a small group, sometimes you've got to be creative and figure out how to make this team work. Face the challenges ahead of you. But in the end, what happens? When Jesus sees their faith, did he see that in the text? He didn't say his faith. When Jesus sees their faith, this group working together, Jesus heals him physically and also restores him spiritually. And that group of five will forever be bonded together because of what they went through. Here's how our gospel summarized the experience in Mark 2. They were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Now, I'm not sure that whenever I come home from a men's retreat or one of my gift group sessions, that I say every time, "I've never seen anything like this." But I do give thanks to God for the blessing that interaction has been in my life, because I do see Jesus showing up and blessing my life in a way that does not happen when I'm just by myself. I really appreciate founding Christ Our Shepherd pastor John Weber caring so much about the potential of groups. After a sabbatical one year, he came back and encouraged all COS folks to join a gift group, which stands for Growing in Faith Together. And some of those groups still exist today. And when I contacted Pastor John this week, here is what he said. Quote, "Everyone wants to be part of a community where they can experience Christ's love through the friendship and support of others. And that's hard to accomplish just on Sunday mornings. Thus, the best way to build community where one can experience Christ's love is through small groups. The small group provides education and community and pastoral care. All this without a pastor." You know, Pastor Miriam and I are going to always do our best. But sometimes, you know, a small group is so life-giving. Pastor John's comments indicate they're all types of small groups, and all of them serve great purposes. But if you can, see how many aspects of the acronym CONNECT you can pepper into your group's rhythm. After all, our very mission is connecting to Jesus' pathway. So, for instance, if C in CONNECT stands for caring for others just as Jesus cared for us, then can our group rally around the ups and downs of one another, our roses and thorns? And could we also take on a service project and care for the world together somehow? If O is opening ourselves through prayer and worship, can we pray with and for each other at the beginning or end of every session? And can we figure out a way that we're going to pray for each other throughout the week? If N in CONNECT stands for navigating with Scripture, we're going to be looking for Bible-based or Bible-inspired resources, right? Dr. Phil has much to offer, but we are hungry to interpret life from a faith-driven perspective, right? Studies prove that the number one spiritual growth catalyst is reflection on Scripture. So we ensure that Scripture is part of our regular diet. N, if that stands for nurturing, can we nurture one another by just being present and listening to each other as we get to be honest with our questions and our feedback and a supportive presence? If E is encouraging growth in others, can we celebrate when those in our small group take an important step in their life? Can we just be honest in sharing when we feel our group has stalled and suggest hopes for ways we can grow afresh? If C is committing first fruits of time and talent and treasure, we are living stewards as we simply show up for one another with our enthusiasm, with our openness to what the Spirit might do in our group. And if T is trusting in all that Jesus is Lord, we trust that God will use our group to bless us with fun and faith and fellowship. So friends, what will we do? What will we say? Let's admit it. We all have reservations. Let's take a look at this little clip. If you ever want help finding a group or starting a group, if you ever want help with curriculum choices or covenant samples, Pastor Miriam and I stand ready to help. No perfect groups, no guarantees. They're not without frustration. But like this video says, groups are wonderful places to be engaged and to take a break, to be real and to be accepted for who you are. Like the paralytic with his four friends, it is an adventure to go see Jesus together. And that is meaningful. In Jesus' name, amen.